From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id. Hello listeners, welcome back to the English service for Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today we have a lot of information coming from our country and we would like to begin with the news, so make sure that you will stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Opening ISEF, President Joko Widodo wants Indonesia to be excellent. President Joko Widodo's inaugurated TVRI's West Papua Station. Now the news in details. Islamic economy and finance still have a wide potential to be further developed. In fact, Islamic economy and finance are liked by not only countries with majority Muslim population, but also other countries such as Japan, Thailand, Britain, and the United States due to their potential. Therefore, through his remarks at the opening of the 7th Indonesia Sharia Economic Festival ISEF in 2020, President Joko Widodo affirmed that Indonesia must quickly get the opportunity and potential.
Indonesia dengan jumlah penduduk Muslim terbesar di dunia harus menangkap peluang ini.
Indonesia with the largest Muslim population in the world must catch this opportunity by encouraging the acceleration, economic development, and national Sharia finance as part of the transformation heading for an advanced Indonesia and making Indonesia a reference hub for global Sharia economy.
Dan upaya menjadikan Indonesia sebagai pusat rujukan ekonomi syariah global.
Domestically, Indonesia has already had a national committee on Sharia economic and finance to welcome these opportunities by encouraging economic growth accelerations and Islamic finance. A number of strategies to materialize the opportunities are by strengthening the halal value chain, Islamic finance, micro, small and medium enterprises, and the digital economy. President Joko Widodo also said the ISEF event could be a momentum to further develop the economy and the potential of the Sharia financial industry by making a clear and detailed roadmap as well as determining concrete steps to be carried out immediately.
Industri keuangan syariah adalah
the Sharia financial industry is a sleeping giant. Currently, the government has great attention to resurrect the giant. Moreover, the government has developed the Sharia economy and finance at the grassroots level, namely by developing microbanks in places. In the Indonesia regions, collaborated with existing Islamic boarding schools and religious organizations. Thereby, President Joko Widodo hopes that the Islamic financial industry can become an alternative financial instrument to develop the economy of Indonesian people. President Joko Widodo inaugurated public broadcaster TVRI's West Papua Station on Wednesday. He expects the West Papua Station to serve as a credible source of positive information on Indonesia and regional developments in Papua. As reported by Antaranus Agency, President Joko Widodo at an online inaugural ceremony stated that the TVRI's presence, including its 30th station in West Papua Province, would enable Indonesians across the archipelago to know any events and regional developments taking place in Papua. He further said that in return through TVRI, Papuan communities are also able to keep being well informed about other Indonesian regions. At the inaugural event held the same day, Indonesians commemorated the Youth Pledge Day. President Joko Widodo also urged youth across the country to set aside their differences and strengthen national unity and cooperation for the sake of the nation's progress. The Indonesian government in its stance remains to be committed to ensuring the sustainable utilization of clean energy, especially renewable energy in the electricity sector, through an energy pricing regulation. As reported by Antaranus Agency Director General of Electrical Power of the Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry, Rida Mulyana, in a written statement released on Wednesday, stated that one of the principles applied by the government for energy development is sustainability. He said that apart from sustainability, the government has also outlined five other principles called 5K, including availability and quality for energy development. He emphasized if power supply is sufficient but not uninterrupted, it will be futile. Hence, the government must ensure that the public may enjoy good quality electrical power. Member of Commission 1 of the House of Representatives DPR, Sukamta, has lauded the Foreign Ministry's decision to summon French ambassador to Indonesia to condemn French President Emmanuel Macron's remarks targeting Islam. As quoted by Antaranus Agency on Wednesday, Sukamta in Jakarta on Wednesday appreciated the Indonesian Foreign Ministry's step to call the French ambassador on Tuesday and conveyed criticism against the French president's statement. He hoped the Indonesian government would be proactive in communicating with member countries of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, OIC, and encourage a joint statement from the organization condemning Macron's remarks. He also asked the government through its representative in European countries to intensify surveillance and protection of Indonesian nationals residing in those countries. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Let's move on to the international news. French President Emmanuel Macron has announced a second national lockdown until at least the end of November. As quoted by BBC.com, he said that under the new measures starting on Friday, people would only be allowed to leave home for essential work or medical reasons. Non-essential businesses such as restaurants and bars will close, but schools and factories will remain open. COVID daily deaths in France are at the highest level since April. On Tuesday, 33,000 new cases were confirmed. President Macron also stated that his country risks being overwhelmed by a second wave that no doubt will be harder than the first. Meanwhile, Chancellor of Germany Angela Merkel said on Wednesday that Germany will impose an emergency lockdown that is less severe but includes the closure of restaurants, gyms, and theaters. The European Commission proposed new tax and trade measures on Wednesday to fight the COVID-19 pandemic in the European Union and avoid shortage of goods and medical gear. It stated the new rise in infection on the continent was alarming. As reported by Reuters.com, as Europe again becomes the world's epicenter of the pandemic, the European Union executive urged the 27 European Union governments to do more and in a more coordinated fashion to tackle the virus. European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen told a news conference that the situation is very serious, but the Commission can still slow down the spread of the virus if everybody takes their responsibility. To avoid risk of new shortage of medical equipment, which dogged the block of the beginning of the pandemic in spring, the Commission said it had launched joint procurement for gear needed to inoculate people, such as syringe and disinfectants. The World Trade Organization bid to select a new leader was plunged into this uncertainty on Wednesday after the United States rejected the Nigerian woman proposed as the Global Trade Watchdog's next director general. As reported by Reuters.com, just 6 days before the U.S. election in which trade is a hot topic, Washington struck another blow at the WTO, which U.S. President Donald Trump has described as a horrible and bias towards China. The Trump administration has already paralyzed the WTO's role as a global arbiter on trade by blocking appointments to its appeals panel. Now it threatens to render it leaderless for weeks or months to come. The WTO itself has called a meeting for November 9th less than a week after the election, by which time it hopes to have secured full backing for Nigeria's Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala. The decision needs to be approved by consensus, however, meaning any of the 164 WTO members could block her appointment. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Listener, here's today's commentary about the value of Maulid commemoration. On October 29th, 2020, or the 12th of Rabiul Awal, according to the Islamic calendar, all Muslims across the globe commemorate the Maulid of Prophet Muhammad or the birth of the Prophet. In general, many activities are held to respect and commemorate it. However, amid the pandemic, many activities were cancelled. Also, the world's Muslims are surprised by violence that killed a teacher in Paris because of freedom of expression through a cartoon about Prophet Muhammad. Still, the Maulid is an important part of the life spirit for Muslims across the globe. There are some theories of the origin of the Maulid. One of them that is most believed is that the Maulid was instructed by Sultan Salahuddin al-Ayyubi during the fight to defend Jerusalem from the enemy. At that time, Sultan Salahuddin discussed with ulamas about giving spirit to the soldiers. Meanwhile, in Indonesia, the Maulid was introduced by Wali Songo in the 14th century in Islamic dakwah in Indonesia. The Maulid in Indonesia fused with local cultures. One of the most famous is the Maulid in Java Island with Sekaten and Gerebek. In the Javanese culture, which is practiced by Surakarta Hadiningrat Palace and Ngayogyakarta Hadiningrat Palace, the Sekaten and Gerebek were done following the examples of Wali, especially Sunan Kalijaga, who spread the dakwah through culture. Many lessons can be taken from the Maulid. If in the beginning Sultan Salahuddin motivated his soldiers by following the examples of the Prophet when fighting in his dakwah during his lifetime, the lesson we can learn now is the fight against powerlessness amid COVID-19 pandemic. Patience and sincerity in facing the threat of the mysterious virus are the main thing. By following the health protocol, every disaster has a lesson. In every hardship, there must be easiness. Therefore, every disaster experienced by everyone must have a lesson for their lives. Also, respecting differences on people in living their lives is also part of the fight that must be followed. Just what Prophet Muhammad did during the conquest of Mecca, the seizure of Jerusalem by Sultan Salahuddin al-Ayyubi, or the dakwah of Wali in Indonesia. And listener, that was commentary today.
Listener, our daily segment Today in History begins on October 29, 1960, when Muhammad Ali won his first professional match. Muhammad Ali, with full name Cassius Marcellus Clay Jr., was born in Louisville, Kentucky, the United States of America. His name was similar to his father's name, which was Cassius Marcellus Clay Jr. Then Ali later changed his name after joining the Nation of Islam, and eventually he converted to Sunni Islam in 1975. His career journey began in 1960. He won a gold medal in the light heavyweight category in the 1960 Olympiad in Rome, Italy. Afterwards, on October the 29th, 1960, Muhammad Ali won his first professional match. He won 6 rounds against a boxer named Tunney Hunsaker. Ali became the world heavyweight champion 3 times. Next event is about World Stroke Day. 29th of October is commemorated as World Stroke Day. The World Stroke Day was initiated by the World Health Organization, or WHO, which brings us a message that stroke can be prevented and cured. Stroke is caused by the accumulation of stroke factors. Some stroke factors can be overcome, but some others cannot. The factors which cannot be overcome include age, sex, race, family history, and the previous stroke history. Men have a higher risk of getting stroke compared to women. In October 2006, the WHO collaborated with the International Stroke Society and the World Stroke Federation in a bid to raise people's awareness of preventing stroke. The last event was in 2018 on Lion Air plane crash. Lion Air flight JT610 was a domestic passenger flight from Jakarta to Pangkal Pinang. This type of aircraft is the Boeing 737 MAX, which lost contact on October 29, 2018. Search and rescue officials stated that the plane crashed in Tanjung Pakis, Karawang. The wreckage was found off the north coast of the Karawang Java Sea. All passengers, consisting of 181 passengers and 8 crew members, died. 1 year later, the National Transportation Safety Committee, or NTSC, discovered a lack of technical information which was shared with pilots regarding the systems on board the Boeing 737 MAX aircraft. Anti-aircraft maintenance errors as a major contributor to the crash of the Lion Air JT610 plane. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chokuyou shite COVID-19 no kansen kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forgo the getting over bragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Masken. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Menghapus beban rasaku.
You're still with us, Voice of Indonesia. Next, we got more information for you in My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with My Indonesia today, entitling regional leaders in West Nusa Tenggara agree to stop forest destruction rate. The West Nusa Tenggara Provincials Leadership Communication Forum for Kopimda agreed to stop the rate of forest destructions in the region. The agreement was produced at the coordination meeting related to the development, protection, and safeguarding of forests and forest conditions in the province. This is the written statement received by Antara in Mataram on Sunday, October 25th. Governor of West Nusa Tenggara, Zulkifli Mansyah, conveyed that illegal logging is increasingly occurring, so a synergy of all stakeholders is needed to eliminate forest logging in West Nusa Tenggara, because many forests have been lost and water sources are reduced. Zulkifli Mansyah also regretted that many people still cleared land by burning forests. Head of the West Nusa Tenggara Environment and Forestry Service, Madani Mukarom, said that forests in West Nusa Tenggara cover 53% of the total area of the province of Nusa Tenggara. However, until October 2020, the forest area damaged by logging and forest fires has reached 360,000 hectares. Forest damage is caused by, among others, illegal logging, forest cultivation, cultivation of customary forests, and the creation of settlement. Meanwhile, Military Resort Commander Danrem 162WB Brigadier General Ahmad Rizal Ramdhani said that it is necessary to hold a hearing for the Regional Leadership Conference Muspida on protecting forests. From the discussion at the meeting, several important conclusions were obtained, among others prohibiting timber from leaving Sumbawa and Lombok Island, especially wood from illegal logging, assigning the LHK office to make a map of the areas whether it can be planted with maize, to avoid sustainable forest looting, as well as strengthening the forestry and illegal logging task force team by involving the community, religious leaders, youth organization, and others. Listener, that was My Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Masih tertinggal bayanganmu yang telah membekas di relung hatiku. Hujan tanpa henti seolah pertanda cinta tak di sini lagi, kau telah berpaling. Biarkan aku menjaga perasaan ini, oh, menjaga segenap cinta yang telah kau beri. Engkau pergi, aku takkan pergi. Kau menjauh, aku takkan jauh. Sebenarnya diriku masih mengharapkanmu.
Welcome to the new normal. Now, we are facing uncertainties. Uncertain of when the pandemic will end, and also many other uncertainties. Coronavirus pandemic has changed many aspects of our lives. If you want to survive from this pandemic, you should prepare to adapt and live the new normal. In the prediction of the new normal, health and hygiene became the top commodity. Fear of getting infected makes people keep their health and hygiene more tightly when going outside. There will be sinks everywhere. Hand sanitizer becomes the most wanted goods. People wear masks everywhere. Always keep your distance when doing activities. And avoid crowds. Also, you should not make any physical contact, even just for shaking hands. Vitamins will be consumed as many as food. Before traveling, people will have their temperature checked and will not be permitted to proceed if found not healthy. Temperature will always be checked during social activities like at malls, restaurants, or everywhere. It's also possible in near future, people must bring personal health document when traveling, or health tracking system at airports and other transportation terminals can be more practical and efficient. Well then, welcome to the new normal.
You're still with us in Voice of Indonesia. Next one, we'll present you some information about our tourism and also our local wisdom while in this pandemic in which you cannot go to visit our countries. So make sure that you will listen the next one. The next one is Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, for listener. Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today, I'm going to let you know about Cibuntu Tourism Village. Stay tuned. Listener, in Kuningan Regency, West Java Province, there is a village with beautiful nature and has achievement at the Asian level, namely Cibuntu Tourism Village. Cibuntu Tourism Village has won the 5th Best Tourism Village of Asian level in 2016 for the homestay sector. In addition, in 2017, this village was also selected as the 2nd Best Tourism Village in Indonesia in the Community-Based Tourism CBT event of Indonesian Ministry of Tourism. Due to its beauty and proud achievement, no wonder this tourism village becomes favorite tourism destination in West Java. The tourism village is located in Pasawahan Sub-District, Kuningan Regency, West Java. The location is about 28 kilometers from Kuningan City, or takes around 56 minutes by car. To enter Cibuntu Tourism Village, you have to buy a ticket of 5,000 rupiah. Entering Cibuntu Tourism Village, you will immediately feel the coolness of the air. Because this tourism village is located just below the foot of Mount Ciremai, you can walk around this village enjoying the freshness of the air and the beauty of its natural scenery. If you are tired of walking, you can take a break in some of the roadside seats that have been available. Tourism Village, Cibuntu Tourism Village has a variety of activities. These activities that can be conducted are, among others, swimming and camping. Besides that, there is also Gongseng Waterfall that you can visit. While if you want to feel the freshness of water directly from the spring, you can visit Kahuripan Spring. For those who love trekking, you can explore until you find a cliff near the Gongseng Waterfall. There are also available gazebos, which was built by local people. In this tourism village, there is also a goat village, which is interesting to see. The village built special cages that has more than thousands of goats. However, the environment is neat and clean. Apart from natural tours, you can also enjoy cultural and historical tourism in this village. There are some statues of historical relics from the Hindu-Buddhist era called the Saurip Kidul, Pujal Dayuh, and Hulu Dayuh sites. Those who want to spend the night in the tourism village of Cibuntu, the village offers several homestays for visitors. The price is around 150,000 rupiah to 300,000 rupiah per night, including entrance ticket to Cibuntu Tourism Village. If you want to swim, you can pay 10,000 rupiah for adults and 5,000 rupiah for children, and 250,000 rupiah for a camping fee for the visitor who wants to camp, including 3 times meals. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring Cibuntu, a tourism village in West Java Province. Thank you very much for listening. I'm Nugo Kuswati. Sampai jumpa.
Bisa hatiku menafikan cinta, Karena cinta tersirat bukan tersurat. Meski bibirku terus berkata tidak, mataku terus pancarkan sinarnya. Apa yang kita kini tengah rasakan? Mengapa tak kita coba untuk satukan? Mungkin cobaan untuk persahabatan, atau mungkin sebuah takdir Tuhan. Sahabatan atau mungkin sebuah takdir Tuhan.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Alright, more information from Indonesia is still coming up. The next one will be miscellany.
Voice of Indonesia.
Welcome back to our segment miscellany. In today's edition, we are going to present you information on Korea Indonesia Film Festival 2020. Listeners, even in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic, Korea Indonesia Film Festival still continues this year. Due to the pandemic, the festival is centered online, although there are a limited number of films that can be watched in Bandung cinemas. Fans of South Korean films in Indonesian cinemas can take part in the festival starting from 29th to 31st October 2020. The offline implementation is held at 2 CGV cinemas in Bandung, namely CGV Paris, Van Java, and CGV King's Shopping Center. To watch a film that is screened into CGV Bandung theaters, you have to pay a ticket for 500 rupiah, which can be purchased on the day of the screening. The schedule for showing films can be seen on the CGV website and application. Meanwhile, online film screenings can be accessed through GoPlay, a video on demand platform owned by the Gojek Group. To watch movies via GoPlay, you don't have to pay anything. Just download the GoPlay application. There are 18 films that are screened at the 2020 Korea Indonesia Film Festival, consisting of 15 Korean films and 3 Indonesian films. Korean cinema, The Swordsman's, directed by Choi Jae-hoon, featuring Indonesian actor Joe Taslim, was the opening film for KIFF 2020. The Korea-Indonesia Film Festival is initiated by the Embassy of the Republic of Korea for the Republic of Indonesia and is organized by CGCGV and the Korean Cultural Center Indonesia. Every year, the festival is held and attended by filmmakers, actors, and actresses, as well as film business people, and it shows the best Korean films in various parts of Indonesia. Through this festival, it is hoped that cultural exchange will occur between Korea and Indonesia through film and strengthen relation between South Korea and Indonesia. That was Miss Lenny with the topic Korea-Indonesia Film Festival 2020. Thanks for listening.
Kita teman dekat sudah saling percaya cerita tentang kamu sudah menjadi makananku. Putus lagi, nyambung lagi, ribut lagi, baik lagi. Kau menangis di ku tunggu kau putus dari dulu.
Listener, we still got one more song for you, so make sure that you will stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Welcome back to Music Corner. Today we will present Sherina Munaf in a pop song entitled Cinta Pertama dan Terakhir. The song is included in the Sherina's album titled Gemini, which was released in 2009. The song Cinta Pertama dan Terakhir was one of leading songs in this album. This song describes someone who finds love and life and hopes the love becomes the first and the last one all his or her life. All songs in the Gemini album were composed by Sherina herself. Well, listener, let's listen to the song Cinta Pertama dan Terakhir by Sherina. Enjoy the song.
Sebelumnya tak ada yang mampu mengajarku untuk bertahan di kala sedih. Sebelumnya ku ikat hatiku hanya untuk aku seorang. Sekarang kau di sini, semua bimbang tangis kesepian. Kau buat aku bertanya, kau buat aku mencari tentang rasa ini. Aku tak mengerti, akankah sama jadinya bila bukan kamu. Lalu senyummu menyadarkan, kau cinta pertama dan terakhirku. Sebelumnya tak mudah bagiku tertawa sendiri di kehidupan yang kelam ini. Sebelumnya rasanya tak perlu membagi kisahku, tak ada yang mengerti. Sekarang kau di sini, hilang rasanya. Semua bimbang tangis kesepian. Kau buat aku bertanya, kau buat aku mencari tentang rasa ini. Aku tambah sama jadinya bila bukan kamu. Lalu senyummu menyadarkanku, kau cinta pertama dan terakhirku. Bila suatu saat kau harus pergi, jangan paksa aku untuk cari yang lebih baik.
Pertama dan
Voice of Indonesia.
Pernahkah kau merasa tiada yang pernah mengertimu? Perhatikan, perhatikan maksudku. Pernahkah kau merasa tiada yang pernah mendengarmu? Dengarkanlah, dengarkanlah hatiku. Pernahkah kau merasa semua tuduhan ada pada dirimu? Biarkan aku jelaskan apa yang terjadi.
In almost an hour, we from Voice of Indonesia accompanying you in this English program. You have listened to so many information and also good music from our country. Please do not hesitate to tell us what you think. Send it to our email voi@voinews.id or our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia. Well, then, listeners, thank you very much for listening. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.